I'm going to read a traditional sort of Christmas Day verse, and then what I'm going to talk about is not necessarily traditionally Christmas. I'm just going to expand a bit more. The birth of Jesus, Luke 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, the Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ, Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. So, those of you who were at the cattle service, I am going to repeat a little bit of it, because I think it's important. That's the story of the birth of Jesus. Pretty much everybody knows that. Nativity plays, school, growing up. That's what you get, Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. And it's right and it's good that we remember the birth of Jesus. But we can't remember the birth of Jesus without the cross. That makes the package. Without that, it doesn't really work. So I'm going to focus a little bit more on the cross today. Steve covered an awful lot of Jesus last week. And I don't really want to repeat what Steve did. I just want to add a few things. In verse 12, what we've just read, it says Mary wrapped the baby in cloths. tenuous link, I know, but it was wrapped. And this time of year, we exchange gifts with people, and invariably we wrap them. Even Thomas managed to wrap some this year. So we wrap them because we want it to be a surprise, and it contains something that you hope will bring joy to that person. So I'm pretty sure Mary wasn't thinking of that when she wrapped the baby Jesus. It was probably just being a mother and wanted to make sure her newborn baby was warm and safe and wrapped up tight. But we can draw some similarities. She was wrapping up the best gift any of us will ever have. And I know that can sound a bit cheesy, but what I wanted to do is, when you open a gift, if it's wrapped, unless it's, I don't know, Toblerone or something like that, you don't know what it is, do you? If someone wraps a Toblerone up, you're like, ooh, I wonder what that can be. And there are other gifts where things are Quality Street or whatever, where you know pretty much what you're going to get. But there are some presents that you just don't know. And there's an excitement and there's a, ooh, what's going to be in this? And I think quite often we think of Jesus as the baby in the manger. and we don't unwrap it properly, and we don't see the true, what it contains, what he contains, and what he means to us. So what I'm going to do, I've sort of pinched some stuff. There's a Christian worship guy called Godfrey Birtle. I don't know whether anyone's heard of him. I quite like him because I can sing along. He's not the best singer in the world, but it's from the heart, and it's more, yeah, you can really get into it. So I like that, because I don't have to be pitch perfect, don't even have to be in tune, just means I can worship. But some of the words he does, I really like, because it's quite straightforward, and there you go. So he does a song called My Wonderful God, so you can YouTube it yourself. What he does is he lists all sorts of characters of Jesus. Now, I think there's 37 that I'm going to actually stick them on the cross so we can see what it is. What he's not done, he's not gone for some of the more, the things like kindness, patience. He's not done them. He's done other things which you might go, oh yeah. But then when you think about it, he is. The Bible is dripping, literally oozing out with characteristics of Jesus and what he is to us. So I'm going to stick them up. I'm not going to necessarily talk about them all, because there's 37 and you will be throwing things at me. But as I put them up, I'm going to be saying a little bit maybe. You have to bear with me. I've put little sticky things on the back, so they're going to be everywhere. Clearly, I'm going to put Jesus right at the centre, where he belongs. And today is the day when we recognise him as our saviour. These first three are sort of gimmies. Never going to get away with that. So there are three which we go, yeah. If someone says Jesus to you, you would sort of get them automatically. And now we start coming to some of the other stuff. He's our counsellor. The greatest counsellor who has ever been and ever will be. Yes, we go to friends, we go to people, we go to church leaders. That's where should be our first port of call when we need counselling and this. Because that will never let us down. It will never be wrong. We might not like it. It might be uncomfortable for us, but it'll always be right. Teacher. Sermon on the Mount. Possibly one of the greatest lessons ever given. What a teacher. Reminder. How is he our reminder? Everywhere we look. Look around you. Look at the trees, the birds, the animals, creation. It reminds us who our Creator is. The things all around remind us. Revealer. He reveals things to us. Sometimes in dreams, sometimes through other people. But he reveals things in ourself. He reveals things in other people. He's constantly revealing things in his word. How many of you have read a passage and think, I know that one? And then you'll read it again 6 months later and go, whoa, I never saw that. That's Jesus the revealer. Strengthener. I'm sure we've all had them times when we felt weak. I had one last Sunday. And think, I can't do this. But when you turn your face towards your wonderful God, your Jesus, he will strengthen you. Not he might strengthen you, he will, because they're his promises. Our healer. Enough people in this room. I'm looking at Steph. Steph can stand, hold her hand up and say 100% Jesus is her healer. And if he's done it for Steph, he can do it for you and he can do it for me. He's our healer. repairer. He repairs broken relationships, broken hearts. He repairs the broken. Again, his word says that an awful lot. Refiner. Now it's getting painful. He takes us through the fiery furnace and he burns off all the rubbish. That can be a painful process. But when we come out, we're purer than we went in. So you do that with Jesus and you will come out a far better person. Forerunner. He came to earth as a baby and he lived as a boy, as a man. He's done it all. He's been through it all. He fought the battles, he resisted temptation, he died his death and he rose before any of us were here. And that was all in the plan. Finisher. What were his words on the cross? It is finished. Don't need to say any more about that one. Conqueror. Through this cross, he conquered the grave. Death was defeated. The enemy pushed down. He's our deliverer. He delivers us from evil. He delivers us from our enemies if we turn to him and put our face towards him. Restorer. He restores us when we're weak. He can restore relationships. Because there's different things as repair, where things are a little bit broken, a little bit damaged, and he repairs them. But sometimes things seem beyond. But nothing is beyond our God. Yeah. Nothing at all. I quite like this one. I think it's just because of my man. Hammer. How's he our hammer? A few puzzle faces there. What can we have? We can have glass ceilings. We can have walls that stop us getting to places. Who's our hammer? Jesus is our hammer. Because with him, we break through walls. We smash chains. We break glass ceilings and we can move on. It's not all about Jesus, meek and mild. Jesus is strong. He's our hammer. Fire. There's many, many things in relation to fire. You could look, fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire where we talked about being refined. Fire is light. Jesus is light. Fire is warm. Jesus is warm. Fire brings life as well. Uniter. He's our uniter. His word, again, is full of things about being united, unifying. We need to take that word. We need to take it into our families, to our workplaces, and particularly into our churches. We are God's people. We need to stand together and fight together for him. Redeemer. Our Redeemer lives. Because as we know, 3 days after this, he rose again. We've already spoke about that one. He's our creator. We just need to look around, look at ourselves, look at our fingerprints, our DNA, how special and unique. Our God is a creative God. And a big God. Defender. He died for us. He came back for us. His word defends us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He makes all things. He makes the created things, but he also makes opportunities for us. It's up to us to take them. And we'll only see some of them opportunities if we are walking with him, talking to him, and turning our face towards him. You might think instructor and teacher could be the same. And they could. But I see a slight difference. A teacher can stand and read and do a lesson and tell you what to do. For me, an instructor is someone who shows you how to do it. Doesn't just tell you. Because Jesus stood on the Sermon on the Mount and said lots of things. But he also went around and witnessed and showed us how to treat people, washing feet, stuff like that. He could have told people to wash people's feet. But by doing it, it's an instruction and people go, ooh, that's what he means and he's prepared to do it. Commander. Is that a commander? Commander-in-chief. I'm messing with the speakers here, aren't I? Sorry. I like this one as well. He's a warrior. What he went through, how he went through it. Persecution, pain, suffering. And he stood strong in it all. He was the leader. He wanted his people to be with him. I'll pick them up after. He's our shelter. In times of trouble, we can just come snuggle into him, lean our back into his chest, and know he's got us. He'll wrap his arms around you and he'll protect you from whatever storms you may be in. But you've got to go and back into him. He's just waiting, arms open. He's our helper. We just need to pick that up. You want help? Whatever subject it is, whatever's going on in your life, there will be scripture in there that guides you and tells you. He's our leader. How many other babies have all of that fuss around them? Have a star? Have wise men come in? Shepherds come in? Have kings trying to kill them? Because he's our leader. Always has been and always will be. He's our shepherd. Because you've got commander, leader. In our world, they're quite, you will do this, you will do that, I'm in charge. But the shepherd's different. The shepherd cares for and looks after. I think Jesus is actually referred to as the shepherd more than any other title in the Bible. And not just the shepherd, he's the good shepherd. He's our gatherer. What I thought of with that one was when he's walking along the beach and he gets the disciples in. He was gathering. Come, let's be fishers of men. For him to be able to get them rough, tough, working men to follow him means he's a proper gatherer. We're called to be gatherers too, which is why last Sunday, when all them visitors turned up, we've got gatherers in this church. Refresher, and I'm not talking about the sweet. It refreshes us. We can feel weary. We can feel like a bit, you turn up on a Sunday and you're like, oh, I could have stayed in bed. And more often than not, when you feel like that, you go out of here like, wow, because something happens to you. And that something is Jesus refreshes you. His word is worship, his people. He can use his people to refresh you. A word, just one touch. How am I doing for time? I'm still all right. Rewarder. And it's not necessarily about monetary things, but every good gift is from the Lord. So it's not all about the big house and the big thing. It could be your family, it could be your health. It could just be knowing that Jesus is next to you. Jesus is your Lord. Thanks, Mark. He's our protector. He's a shield. When we're with him and close to him, the fiery darts of the enemy will bounce off us. Inspirer. How can you not be inspired when you read the word of God, when you read the story of Jesus, of what he did, how he lived? He's an inspiration to everybody. He's our provider. Again, he provides our every need. Not necessarily our every want, but he will provide our every need. As he looks after the birds in the trees, he will look after us too. That's in his word, that's a truth. And he's our portion. We all have equal access to and an equal amount of Jesus, which is the whole thing. It doesn't matter whether you're a church leader, whether you're chief constable, whether you're the prime minister, or whether you're someone who's homeless. You have the same rights, the same access to our Jesus. Nobody can deny you that. Nothing you have done makes that dependent. All you need to do, wherever you are on that scale, is give your life to Jesus and say, I will seek you, I will follow you. And you get the same portion as everybody else. Even the people in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The same. And we have the Spirit within us. So, I wanted to do it visually. Because I wanted you to be able to see. And as I said before, we've not really scratched the surface. There's patience, kindness, humility. There's just... Ooh, we'd need an absolutely, like the angel of the north or something on that scale to fit all the attributes of Jesus. And I thought if we leave it like that and then we can, even if we lose it for a few weeks, we can see that and see that gift which has been given to us, which is wrapped in them cloths that Christmas day. And I know it wasn't the 25th of December. Every day we should be celebrating Christmas really and Easter. We should be celebrating the birth, death and resurrection of Christ every day. It is nice to focus on a particular day and have a day off and gather together and be with family or whatever you do. But when I've seen them like that, it surprises me. How great a gift is that to open? And all of these are not things that you might have, or you could have. It's not about whether you've been naughty or nice, whether you've been good this year. It's about whether you've given your life to the Lord. And once you've done that, boom, there you go. That and more. So much more. So please take a minute, if it's not today, over the next few weeks, just have a look and actually think, yeah, and see where he's done things for you. See where he's been your teacher. See where he's been your healer. See where he's been your shepherd. And you'll start to see the bigness of our God and what he means to you. Some of them will be different for each of us. I've mentioned the healing. Steph's healing experience is different to mine. But there'll be other things on there which are different to other people. It's not. But they're available to us all. I've spoke about a few of them. But just look at the bigness of God that came from that baby in the manger. That came all the way through to the cross. Who rose again to give you and me all of them qualities. So, thank you, God, for Jesus. On this day, we remember you, your sacrifice, your love, your unlimited qualities which you pour out for us because you love us. You love us for who we are now, not who we think we should be, not who we compare ourselves to. You love each and every one of us now. We are the apple of your eye. Help us to walk in that from this day forward. A confidence and knowledge that this God, this Jesus, is with us and he will never leave us. Thank you.